The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The Balls and Strikes podcast is brought to you by Elkhorn Training Camp. Let's have some fun and play ball. This episode is sponsored by Ortho Nebraska. At Ortho Nebraska, no one journeys alone. Get the answers you need for your orthopedic pain or injury.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike Alessandro, co-founder and managing partner of the Elkhorn Training Camp. And we are hosting today's episode of Balls and Strike podcast. And we are pleased to announce our two special guests, friends of Elkhorn Training Camp, Hannah and Lauren Kamenson. Hello, girls. How are you this afternoon?
Good. How are you?
I am excellent. I'm excellent. And we are joined by Hannah and Lauren from the wonderful town of Fayetteville, Arkansas, where they currently play for the University of Arkansas Razorbacks softball team. So, girls, we've known each other. It's hard to believe, but Elkhorn Training Camp, we opened up in on January 2nd of 2017. It was either that day or the day after that, Mr. Chad, that would be your father, knocked on the door and said, "Hey, what's going on in here? Can we hit in here?" And from that day forward, I always like to say no one worked harder in our facility than Hannah and Lauren, but it seems just like yesterday. How old were you guys when you started at ETC back in?
Well, I think we were in like seventh grade, maybe.
Seventh grade, I would say.
Unbelievable.
I actually remember the day they went there. I was like at church on a Wednesday night, and they were like, "We're dropping you off, and then we're going.
We're going to go see if
we can get cages." So I was like, okay.
Absolutely. Well, we gave you a key to the place, so like I said, you were a frequent flyer at Elkhorn Training Camp. Well, let's have some fun today. Thanks again for joining the Balls and Strike podcast. So talk to me. Do you remember the first time you played softball? What was it like? When did you start?
I would say our very first team we ever made was the city YMCA team.
It's like boys and girls.
Like 5 or 6, probably.
I would say, yeah.
That's when we first started playing.
Like pictures of just like T-ball. I mean, like, your parents are on the field with you trying to keep you engaged in the game. I was more worried about playing in the dirt and watching the trains go by, but
that's where we all start, right?
That's where it all started. Yeah.
Was that in Valley, Waterloo?
Yeah. I was like at the Valley Park fields, I think.
The Valley City Park fields, yeah. I think.
So, as you guys, when did you start to like it?
Well, not at the beginning. When we first met our first like travel ball team, and we were like 8. Turning 9.
Yeah.
And we were horrible. We were so bad. We never played and we cried a lot. So I wouldn't say we really enjoyed it at the beginning, but
I liked it. I still liked it then. Like, I had fun going to practice with my friends and I was super competitive. Yeah. So I liked it. I just like didn't know that. Yeah. Playing select softball was what I wanted to do. My parents still told me today, they were like, "Okay, we're going to the tryout." And I told them, I said, "I don't care if I make the team, I'm not doing it." And they were like, "Hannah, you can't say that. Like, if you make the team, you're on the team." And I was like, "They can have Lauren, but I'm not going." And I went.
Did you guys play any other sports when you were growing up?
We played basketball until 8th grade.
Okay.
We didn't start basketball until we were like 3rd, 4th grade, maybe.
Yeah.
I know you said you weren't very good when you started. I have a hard time believing that. But with that said, talk to our listeners about, you know, your transformation or your journey, playing softball, you know, where you started and when did it start to click for you?
I would say, So we joined the team when we were like 9. Everybody who was on our team then was a year in school older than us. So they had all played select softball for almost a year before we did. There was a few other girls who had just joined that year. So they were all pretty advanced compared to us. I mean, I didn't catch a single pop fly at the tryout.
And I didn't know how to bunt.
So going into it, my parents, they kind of saw it at the tryout. Like, we were going to be behind. And so, like, they kind of prepared us. Like, you know, like, you're really going to have to learn. Like, you're going to have to catch on. Like, things like that. So going into it, we kind of knew we were a little behind. But I think that reality kind of hits you when you, like, go to it every weekend and you're not the one playing, you're on the bench, or when it comes Sundays and it's bat 9, you're not one of the 9 batters. It kind of hits you pretty hard at 9 years old. I'm like, oh, this is pretty tough. But I would say it kind of started clicking around
second year 12, 14.
I would say, like, I kind of figured out, like, I was getting things figured out. I was going to be okay.
Well, I know both, obviously, your mom and dad, Chad and Amanda. Who was the driver? Let's be honest here. I really want to know this one.
Ooh, well, my mom coached us going into it. Like, when we played for DC West, like, she coached that. And then she didn't coach when we tried out for the team. And then she coached, like, 2 years after that. She was just an assistant coach. But I would say probably my dad. I mean, he, like, found the teams for us to try out for and stuff like that. He did all the research. But my mom had more of, like, the background of softball that we kind of followed by.
Well, as a dad of a player myself, I heard a few of the disputes in the cages over the years. You know, comments about the location of the pitches and what you kids like to do to us, right?
Yeah.
So when did you start again playing select softball when it started to get serious? I think you said age 12. And who did you play for?
Well, we still played for the Quakes when we were like 12.
Okay.
And then 12, 13, we played for the Quakes. And then second year, 14, so we played for the Aces in Kansas City.
Excellent. Well, talk to me a little bit about, and our listeners, about the Kansas City. You said the Aces, correct?
Yes.
What was that experience like?
Well, we really didn't know anything about them. And then there's this thing, it's called on-deck softball.
Okay.
And they do, like, measurements, and you, like, go to certain places around, like, just different states. Yeah. And so we went to one in Kansas City on Mother's Day weekend, and they, like, do tests, and they send it out to college coaches of, like, your 40-yard dash, your
how you rank below, against other kids in your
recruiting class. And the guy who owns the Aces, him and his wife were there helping work the camp. They had some kids doing it. And so we happened to be there, and they happened to be there, and they saw us at the camp. And then after the camp, they asked if we would come play for them. And my dad was like, no, we're not doing it. Like, we're not coming to Kansas City to come play for you.
He was like, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Like, absolutely not.
And then we picked up a few times that following summer with them at some bigger tournaments. And then after that, we, like, told our parents, like, this is what we want to do. And so then we made the move the next year.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I remember actually when your dad was explaining, yeah, don't talk to me about this, but we're driving down to Kansas week to practice softball. But let's face it, it was because of that experience and that opportunity that probably led to, number one, your passion for the game, but number two, an opportunity for you to play in college. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, it definitely got me to where I'm at today. I mean, going there, I mean, every weekend you're competing against kids. When we went there, we were 14, so there were 16s that were going.
We were the only 14
to Division I schools, and there was 18-year-olds going to Division I schools. So,
and we were 14.
When you showed up to practice, it was time to hold your own. Otherwise, it wasn't going to go very well.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it definitely pushed me to probably be the player I am today.
Excellent. And then from the Aces, let's transition into Scott Catholic, right? Obviously, 2 state championships there. Some phenomenal statistics that you both put up over those 4 years there. Tell our listeners about your experience at Scott Catholic and what that meant in your softball development.
Scott was pretty special to us. I mean, we didn't grow up going to private school. When we made the switch at high school, we were public school kids before that. And one of our hitting coach was Duke Jablonski, and his daughter went to SCUT. And we grew up just, like, idolizing Kaylin when we were little and everything that she did. And so he kind of, like, threw it out there a few times, like, hey, maybe you guys should go try SCUT. Like, I feel like it would be a good fit for you guys. And we shadowed one day. What were we, seventh, eighth graders?
Yeah.
And we ended up loving it and told our parents that's where we wanted to go to school. And it was one of the best decisions I've think we've made so
I think
far.
That SCUT not only as a softball player made me better, but it really made me the person I am today. Just I met so many amazing people spending my 4 years there. I mean, Coach E really made you a better person, so did Coach Jablonski. I mean, Coach Jablonski, I owe him thousands of thank yous. But they definitely just SCUT really shaped me into the person that I've become today, and I'm so grateful for my time that I had there.
That's fantastic. It just sounds like it had a tremendous impact on you. It shapes you not just as a player, but as a person, which in the long run becomes more important anyway, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously lots of accolades. There's too many for me to list. So from your time at SCUT Catholic, and I don't want to make you guys blush, but so you were very top-notch players. You knew you had an opportunity to play in college. Talk to us about the recruiting process.
For us, it was a little bit different than it is now. When we were first made the switch to the Aces, the recruiting rule was still that you could commit
whatever.
Basically at any age. I mean, there was kids committing in the seventh grade.
Sure.
And I was going through it at first. So, I mean, I kind of went to camps really hard. I mean, that was the thing to do. Everybody was going to camps. People were committing in the seventh grade. So I went to camps then, and then going into our freshman year.
Yeah.
Freshman or sophomore year, they decided on the rule change that you couldn't commit until September 1st of your junior year.
Okay.
I had gone to quite a few camps up until my freshman year. I had a pretty good idea of
what
top 5 to 10 schools that I was really interested in. And then once they had that rule change, it stopped all communication. So you could no longer talk on the phone.
The only way you could talk to them is if you went to their camp.
If you went to their camp, basically.
Okay. It was the only time you could talk to them.
And so then you had to wait until September 1st at midnight. You could start getting texts, calls from schools that wanted to reach out to you.
And that's when you could start scheduling, like, visits and stuff again.
Yeah.
So what made you pick Arkansas?
I think that for me, it was just – I mean, I went to several camps before my junior year. But, I mean – every time that I stepped on campus, it felt like home. I always wanted to go back. And I think that the coaches were the number one thing. I mean, I grew up with a family's everything to me. All my teams I've played for, they've had little kids. I mean, just being around that. And so I think that their kids come to practice. They care about you as a person, and they care about you as a softball player. So I think that was my biggest thing.
I would also say they never missed a beat. We knew them before the recruiting, like before the change. So we knew them before junior year and after junior year. So I would say even with like the pause, like they never missed anything. Like they were there for my first high school ball game. They were there for my state tournament, like every major event that there was either a text or they were there in person for.
Yeah, whether it's business or sports, relationships are the name of the game, right? And especially in the environment that college athletics is in, where the transfer portal is the name of the game. It's those relationships that allow you to develop and persevere, because it's not easy, right? And let's talk about that. What was it like when you arrived as a freshman? I mean, you're in the Southeastern Conference. I think I saw 7 teams are in the top 20. You show up, obviously tremendous players from SCUT Catholic and the Aces, but everyone else is really, really good too. So talk to us about that shock as a freshman.
I feel like it was definitely overwhelming. I mean, you show up as a freshman, not only do you have softball to do every day, but you're figuring out school, you're figuring out moving away from home and all of those things. But I think that everybody, when you show up as a freshman in the SEC, it's like everybody is as good as you. Everybody was that best player on their previous team. So I think that it's just not letting yourself be like, oh, I want to be like this person, or I wish I could hit home runs like that person. Like, just sticking to yourself, because you got there somehow, you got there for a reason.
So I think that was the biggest thing. It was overwhelming, but not letting yourself get away from who you are.
Did you ever have any doubt? I mean, obviously, when you're starting practice as a new freshman, there's upperclassmen. And let's face it, you're competing against your teammates to be on the field, right? Did you ever have any doubts early on?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there was times I had bad practices or I really struggled this day. And I think that, I mean, when you had doubts, I always had to remind myself, like, I'm here for a reason. They believe in me. They recruited me. They believe in me to be here. But for sure, I think everybody has their doubts. I mean, you have days that you're like, wow, like, am I really good enough to be here? Especially as a freshman. I mean, it's so overwhelming. Yeah, you make every little thing bigger than it really is. Yeah. So I think that was the biggest thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hard game. What would you tell the young listeners to our podcast? What advice do you have to them? Because, you know, we have 12-year-olds and we have parents that are listeners to this podcast. What advice would you give to the young players out there?
I think the biggest advice I would give is to never let your confidence waver.
Yeah.
Whether you're having your best 3 weeks of softball of your life or the worst, I think that never letting your confidence waver is something that I had to work on last year. I mean, it's so easy to dig yourself in that hole and be Debbie Downer on yourself, but that could be the reason that you don't come out of it. So I think that that's probably the biggest thing I would say to anyone listening.
Yeah, I was going to say confidence too, took it right out of my mouth.
And the second thing, I guess I'll give one more. The second thing is hard work will take you a lot of places. Yeah. I think that working hard is something that you gain a lot of trust from people and you gain a lot of respect from people. A lot of people will give you a lot in return when they know that you're a hard worker.
That's absolutely right. And I know I said this at the opening, and I tell this to people all the time. No one has swung the bat more in Elkhorn training camp without question. So, Hannah, you got off to a great start, to say the least, all SEC second team. Lauren, you started as a catcher, I think 50 games. I read this, 2 errors only at catcher. I mean, that's a pretty good start. What are your guys' goals for this year?
My goal is to go to Oklahoma City. I think,
yeah,
definitely. It's my dream. It's the team's goal. It's everyone's goal. It's something that we've been
preaching this year as a team
throughout the fall. That's our number one goal, is to end the season in Oklahoma City.
How about another triple play on ESPN?
That too. That would be pretty cool.
I mean, what are the odds of that? That, you know, twin sisters, freshman, Division I softball, SEC, and a triple play. Was it unassisted? Was it just you two in the play?
No, it went to first base so. After.
Okay.
Me and Lauren to first base, but yeah, after that, it was just us two.
And the season starts this week, is that correct?
Yeah, we leave
Thursday's
on
Thursday's our first game.
Wednesday to go to Boca Raton, Florida, FAU.
Excellent. And did I see on the schedule you get to play against the Omaha Mavericks?
Maybe. Yeah, we'll play them in Arizona the following week.
More friends and teammates potentially, right?
Yeah, I have a couple travel ball teammates
and then some girls who play
there, and then also like girls we played high school ball against. So it'll be fun to see people we haven't seen in a while.
Excellent, excellent. Well, when you think about your freshman year, right, and the challenges that you experienced, what do you think, you know, growing up, I mean, softball and development and persevering as a sport, it's a long journey, but what would you say that the experiences were that helped you out the most?
I would say the things that helped me out the most would probably be that I competed against the best people every weekend throughout my travel ball career. I mean,
sure.
When I think about it, almost all the girls I faced in college, I faced when I was in high school.
Oh, that's interesting.
Sometimes like you think when you get in travel ball, it's like, oh my gosh, like everybody's so good. But at some point you've already played most of them. So I think that, yeah, everyone's gotten a lot better and everyone's on a smaller amount of teams sometimes. But like you also have faced the best every weekend at some point too before that.
Yeah, you're just used to it, right?
Yeah. And granted, everybody gets better when they get to college too, but just you've played a lot of them before now.
Absolutely. So let's talk about maybe life after softball. I know it's hard to imagine because you're only 1 year into your Division I career, but what are your goals and aspirations outside of the softball field?
Well, I want to be a sideline reporter. So I'm going to school right now for broadcast journalism.
Oh, excellent. Why should I have you host the podcast?
I've done a little bit of sidelining. I'm like doing an internship with RSN, Razorback Sport Network, right now.
Oh, excellent.
So I got to do, I was a sideline reporter for the women's basketball game when they played Little Rock in, what was that, September?
Yeah.
Or November? So. Yeah. So that was pretty
cool. I think
it
was November
to get to do.
Yeah, and then I'm in a sports management major, and I want to be a coach.
Oh, you want to be a coach?
I do. Yeah.
Excellent. You guys think you'll move back to Nebraska?
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Excellent.
Hopefully. I still like to live in Nebraska, but we'll see where it takes me.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining the Balls and Strikes podcast. It's been a real privilege to see you guys grow since age 12. Now you're flourishing at the University of Arkansas. I know you're preseason number 16. It's like every game that you guys play will be an NCAA tournament game and conference.
Yeah.
But I know that your hard work, your perseverance, and I tell this to people all the time, you're better people than you are even softball players. And so it's been great to know you and see you develop over the years, and we'll be cheering for you here in Omaha. Thanks again for joining, and best of luck, Hannah and Lauren.
Thank you so much for having us.
Take care.
Huda Media Production.